All right, well, like Steve was saying, my name is Mark Johnson. My wife and I live down in Robbinsdale, which is just the couple blocks west of Minneapolis. So we're right on the border of kind of North Minneapolis and Robbinsdale. We live there with our first son. He's 10 months old. He just turned 10 months last week. We were on the leadership team of a church plant whose lead pastor was Andrew Peterson, and associate pastor was Ben Brandt, who grew up here. So that's the connection of how I got here. Ken and Debbie Peterson have been coming there with us as well, been in a small group with my wife and I for probably about the last 2 years or so, and we've become really good friends with them. So Dave asked if Ken could preach. He was busy, so then he asked Andrew if he could preach, but he was preaching back at our church. So I guess technically I'm plan C, really. So, but it's funny. My wife and I were actually up here the week of Labor Day, and on our way out of town is when I got the text that I might be able to preach up here. So I jumped at the opportunity because I love Grand Marais. Ever since I was little, at least once a summer, we'd come up here as a family camping in the state parks. And at least one day of the trip we'd spend in Grand Marais. And I loved it. I just love Lake Superior. There's something about it. So any chance I get to come up here, I do. And I thought it'd be great for my first preaching in my non-home church to be in one of my favorite towns. I just thought that'd be great. So jumped at the opportunity to do it. So what I want to talk about this morning is simply delighting in God's Word. Meditating on God's Word. And this morning, in a way, I just kind of want to whet your appetite for the Word of God and just hopefully light a passion in you to devote yourself to God's Word. So let's pray again as I start here. Father, I'd ask for your help now. I ask that you'd fill me with your Spirit, give me clarity. Give me passion and emotion where there should be passion and emotion. And Lord, I ask for all of us in this room that you would give us ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see your beauty as we look at your Word. Lord, I'd ask that you would clear our minds this morning. Help us to focus on you and only you this morning. We lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was in the flesh, God did. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, if you live according to the flesh, you set your mind on the things of the flesh. If you live according to the Spirit, you set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now, a mindset on the flesh is death, but a mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind of the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although this body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit which dwells in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you kill the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And this spirit that you received is not a spirit of slavery for you to fall back into fear. It's a spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears testimony with our spirit that we are his children. And if children, heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if we suffer with him, in order that we might also be glorified with him. For I am convinced that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that one day all of creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that all creation groans together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we eagerly wait our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. It's in this hope that we are saved. Now, who hopes for what he sees? Hope that is seen is not hope. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, because we don't know how to pray the way that we should. But the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groanings that are too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. And the Spirit intercedes according to the will of God. And those, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he will justify. And all those whom he justifies, he will glorify. What then should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is there to condemn you? It's Jesus who died for you. More than that, he was raised and is indeed seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, or rulers, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. I wanted to open by reciting Romans 8 for you. I've grown up in church all my life. I was 23 years old the first time I heard someone recite a passage of Scripture in church. And I thought that was just too long without hearing that. And it set me on a course for memorizing Scripture, meditating on Scripture. So this morning I want to talk about one of the first passages I memorized, Psalm 1. So if you have your Bibles with you, open up there. This is one of the passages I always go to continue to encourage myself to memorize Scripture. Psalm 1. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, so it might be different from ones that you guys have. So in this, we're introduced to a man. It's a generic man. Every one of us in this room is the man in this psalm. And it shows us the results of living a life devoted to the Word of God. So let's read it here, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree that's planted by streams of water. It yields fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in all his ways he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So we're just going to walk through here and look at a couple things. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. I think what he's talking about here is not simply don't hang out with certain people. I think he's talking more about influence in your life. He's not walking with wicked people. He's not standing with sinners. And he's not sitting with scoffers. I think he's talking about an influence in your life. And there's a contrast here. So this man's not living, being influenced, and being driven by these people, but there's a contrast. His delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord. And on it, he meditates day and night. The contrast here is a delight, a satisfaction. He's not being influenced, being satisfied from over here. His delight's coming from here. And the fruit of that delight, that satisfaction, is that he meditates on it day and night. The word there for meditate, there's a lot deeper meaning than what our English word meditate means. So this word's translated a lot of different ways. It's translated to talk, to plan, to devise, or even to mumble. So on the law, he mumbles day and night. He talks day and night. He devises day and night on the Word of God. It's speaking of a continual, intentional passion to dig for meaning, understanding, constantly, day and night, in the life of this man. So then verse 3 and 4, we come to the result of what happens when you live this way. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yields fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, in all that he does, he prospers. That sounds like a person I want to be. And we get the alternative. There's only two options. Here's the alternative. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff that the wind drives away. I always think of my yard when I read this. I live in an urban area. We've got really small yards. It takes me maybe 20 minutes to mow my yard. And there's probably 6 feet between my house and the neighbors, and it's all concrete. So I'm a very lazy yard keeper. I just mow the yard and let the grass sit there, just lie there, the grass clippings. And it never fails. Within a week, you don't even notice there were grass clippings there. They just blend in the grass, fade away. I don't even know where they go. I don't think the wind carries them because the backyard is totally fenced in with 6-foot-high fences. So it just goes away. And that's what I think of when I read the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. But in my neighbor's yard, there is a silver maple tree. I can't even put my arms around the base. It's probably been there for 70 years. And it grows out over my yard and gives my backyard shade for the entire day. That tree is probably going to be there longer than I am. And when it needs to be taken down, it will cost thousands of dollars to take that tree out. That's the difference. The person who delights in the Word of God, meditates on the Word of God, memorizes the Word of God, spends night and day thinking about God's Word, they are like the tree. They're not like grass clippings. In the world, this world of grass clippings needs trees. The world needs to see people who are like a tree with roots that go deep, who aren't blown around by any breeze that comes by, who aren't shaken by political rumors, by news scares, who are just rock solid people. That's what the world needs. And the foundation of that is a constant appetite and hunger for the Word of God, day and night. And this is where evangelism gets its start. When we go through rocky times and people notice that we're a tree, not grass clippings, they'll ask, Where's your hope? What are you hoping at? How are you going through this? And so steady. And it's at that point that you can take this book and say, well, let me tell you about what I read in here. That's where evangelism starts and relationships start. He goes a little farther. This is not a self-help program. It's not just good advice. Verse 5 and 6 shows that our eternity rests on this. Therefore, congregation of the righteous, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The result of a constant meditation and passion for the Word of God is an eternity that lasts. So many things are dependent on our appetite for this book, what's in here. This is, I don't know how long mine is, 2,000 pages, 1,800? 1,800-page personal love letter to you from God. And Christ died in order to give you a new life, a new spirit, new eyes, and a new heart so that you could read and enjoy his love letter. And so that it would sink down into you and begin to transform who you are. This is how he speaks. This is where his truth is. I heard it once said, don't complain that God's silent if your Bible's closed. This is how he speaks to us. And a daily passion, daily routine of devotion to this book turns you into silver maple as opposed to grass clippings. And it's not always easy. There are days where it really doesn't sound fun to sit down and read my Bible. I would rather relax, watch TV, play a game or something. But even that speaks to the condition of my soul. Why would I find playing a game more fun than reading God's Word? And that's the battle of the Christian life. Wading through all the things that get in the way of this. It's similar to what we were talking about Sunday school this morning. There's so much clutter. And in the DVD, he said the soul is sticky. That everything comes in and sticks to it. And so many things get in the way. And everything in our life says it's more important, more fun, and more satisfying than sitting down with this. But it's not true. The fight to see beauty in here, to see love in here, is our daily fight as a Christian. When we go and open this word, our prayers ought to be, Lord, show me beauty here. Show me promises that I can cling to. Romans 8 was my project this summer, memorizing it. And it's now a part of who I am. No matter where I am, what I'm doing, I can preach Romans 8 to myself. That is spiritual power. And there's something in memorizing the Word of God that brings it just from up here down into here. And I can, during the week, down in the Twin Cities, I'm a plumber. So I'm running service calls most of the day. So about a third of my day I'm driving around. So I had plenty of time to memorize Scripture. But I can remember a few days where I was reciting it and just in tears as I was driving because of the promises in Romans 8. And now my prayer is when I come to the end, no matter what condition I am in, physically, mentally, emotionally, no matter where I'm at, just let me have Romans 8. And there is, in Scripture and memory, power for your life. And it aids in that constant meditation on the Word of God. So as we go throughout our weeks, always look for opportunities. That extra 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, where you can open up the Bible and just rest. And begin to build in yourself a habit of meditating on Scripture day and night. And you will be like a tree that's planted by streams of water. Nothing will bring it down. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you for your word. The treasures and the promises in there. Lord, I ask you that you would give us a hunger for it every day. Lord, open up our eyes to see beauty there in a way that we don't see beauty anywhere else. Help us see satisfaction there in a way that we are not satisfied by anything else. Give us a passion and a hunger for your word. We lift these things up in your name. Amen.